Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more.
I'm glad I get to introduce my friend Matt Nakamoto. Matt and I have not known each other for decades, but I just feel, you know, like the old worn out phrase, brother from another mother. And when I got to know him, probably first met you, Matt, over at the barbershop, maybe, and at Zion, Mount Zion Barber, up there by the ice skating rink. But and then Matt became the pastor of New Vision, and they are, by the way, they are in a. Are you going to talk about at all the new building? Yeah, they've just bought a building. And it's a little bit of a trek from where they've been meeting. How many of you know where Best Buy is up on Edwards? Across the street from that is how many of you know where the Model Train store is? Everybody knows where the Model Train place is. They're in the same building. Yeah, right by this side of the Edwards Bridge. So anyway, that's where they've been, and they're moving to Santa Ana, and they bought an awesome building. I got to walk through it with them. And they're hitting the reality section of this of the stride of buying a building and getting ready to fit that building out from an office building to a place where a fellowship is going to be meeting. And they discovered this week they need fire sprinklers. How many of you know fire sprinklers are not cheap? You know, that's a heavy dollar item. So please be praying for that. And if you know anybody does that, not just on the side, okay, but it's got to be what they do as a profession. Oh, I can do that. I'm a plumber. But anyway, be praying for them as they move through that. But I'm so excited for what God's going to do in New Vision there. So would you guys welcome my friend, my brother, and co-worker in the ministry. It is such an honor to be serving Jesus in the same generation. Well, I'm a little bit older, on the older side of that generation, but at the same place and time in history as you, Matt. So come on up and bring the word to us, brother.
I'm so excited to be here, honored. Like Pastor Bill was sharing, we've been at this place for like 15 years, and we got noticed that we had to vacate. It got sold. And so we had to go find a building, and easy, right? Yeah. Just go find a place. Like, we're good. Let's go. Let's find it. We couldn't find a place anywhere. And we had to just trust in the Lord. And our lease ended October 31st. And so miracle number one was our landlord gave us an extension. And so we're renting. We're going to rent month to month until we find a place. And miracle number two is that we found a place that was actually zoned for a church. And and when you're looking, you know, real estate is expensive. And we got a reality check when we're going out there. It's like we can't really afford anything. And so we started going to other churches and say, hey, can we rent from you guys? And they basically said no. But God, that's why when he's singing Waymaker, I was like, oh man, that's like my jam, you know? And, miracle worker, he makes miracles and he continues to do it. And so we got blessed. Someone that, you know, I know the Refuge here live streams and so do we. Ever since the pandemic, we had to live stream. I think everyone had to figure it out. And, someone on the live stream say, I want to buy you a church. So I was like, well, but I really wasn't like that. I was like, hey, I don't even know you, man. Like, who are you? You know, and so I got to know him and walk with him and journey through life with him. But I told him, you know, you can't buy a church, you know, like, just can't do that, you know. And then he would always, you know, when you're a pastor, no one really tells you, good job or great message, you know. But he would always text me Monday morning. And the points. And then he said, hey, I want to buy you this church. And you said, don't rob yourself of a blessing. So my wife's like, hey, I want to meet him because I want to look in his eyes. You know how your wife's like, they get through your wife, she's like, I'm going to look right through him. I could tell if someone's shady, not shady, shady. And so we met, and here we are. You know, we're still in escrow. Larry, he's going to be our contractor here. He's going to do all the contracting for free, he said. He's going to donate. And Bill, and so God is good. I didn't plan to say share that, but Pastor Bill, he is such a blessing to me, and I don't even think blessing is the proper term. When my father-in-law passed, and it's been 8 years, Pastor Bill called me, and I didn't even know who he was, you know, because I'm moving from the youth group from JV to varsity. I just got thrown in there, and Pastor Bill, he said, "Hey, what do you need? What, you know?" I'm like, I don't know. I'm just trying to breathe. Really, I was really trying to just breathe because I couldn't. You know, we're a small church, but we're really like a family church, and like we were grieving hard. And then he had me come speak for, I think it was a Monday when you guys meet for your staff. And he's like, hey, come do a devotional for our staff. And I was like, oh, man, I don't even know how to do that, you know. So I come. I don't even know what I shared, you know. And I got to go in his office. He's a shepherd. And you are so blessed to have a shepherd that cares for you and watches over you. But he became like a pastor. The pastors, I always tell him because he always check up on me. And then he would started coming to the barbershop, and I would cut his hair. Look at Pastor Bill's hair. I could cut that in 5 minutes. But, I milked every minute. I was like, he was my sitting commentary right there. I'm like, hey, so what do you think about this? Like, what about that? And he's just like, oh, man, dude. Like, so every time I would love when he would come and sit there and just check in. And he's and then to go on the walkthrough at the new facility that we're going to get. I didn't even know the questions. I've never done this. And him and Joy were asking the question, you know, how, you know, what's, does it say assembly? You know, does this, and he's, what's the square footage? And he was just asking all the questions like a father figure, like a papa, you know? And so I really am blessed to speak with you today because, you know, he's given me these opportunities. To be honest, I've never done a prayer breakfast before. And I would never serve those burritos that look bigger. I would never serve that first because in our church, everyone would fall asleep. Like, we all have sleep apnea over there. So they think they're awake, but they're not, you know? And so I was so honored to be here because he's just a man of God, right? But he's also a man's man. And that's something we need in the church. We need men to rise up. And in this culture today, they're trying to demasculate the men. You know, they're trying to revoke all your man card, you know, your manhood, you know. And we're in a place where guys don't want to work. Guys want to get pedicures and wear makeup now, wear dresses and get massages. They don't want to protect and provide and guide their children. They'd rather sit and play video games with their kids instead of walking them through their journeys of life, holding their kids. My son's here today. Like we always say, son, you gotta man up, right? That's our thing. So guys, when we come here, we've manned up to get here. You got here is a victory to be here. And so today, I want to give you a little recap. The actual text will start in 1 Samuel 30. But for men, I love David because he's a man's man. He's God's man. And you know David in 1 Samuel 17, David defeats Goliath. He's a hero. You know, for guys, we always want to be the hero. You know, we look at these and we're like, man, that's me. I'm David, you know. But there's always opposition. And there's King Saul, who's jealous of David, attempts to kill David 3 different separate times. Did I mention that David is his son-in-law. It's like, man, what's up with that, Pops? He's playing the harp and you're getting an arrow, a spear getting chucked at you. And so David in 1 Samuel 22, he's on the run. How many of you guys watch Netflix and all these series that go on and, you know, and season 24, and it's like so many episodes. This is so much. I just want to give you a recap, right, of what's going on before we get into our text. But I love warrior. I love Braveheart. Anyone see Braveheart, you know? And I know we got some old school people in here. Everyone see Glory. It's an old movie, Glory. Like, you know, and I just love those old movies. Last Samurai, you know? I don't really care for Tom Cruise, but he did good in that. He's like, he did good, right? But there's opposition. There's always opposition. And in 1 Samuel 22, David is on the run. He's a fugitive, right? He escapes to the cave of Adullam, which means refuge. Pastor Bill didn't tell you he's going to change the name to your church, Calvary Chapel of Adullam. And David becomes a captain of 400. It's like, wow, he's in this cave. He's got all these guys. But these are outcasts, misfits. They're a motley crew they're distressed, in debt, discontented, right? Sounds like the church. They come in with a lot. It's a hospital. They come with a lot of baggage. But then they become valiant warriors. But King Saul, the opposition, never stops to hunt for your life. And he continues to chase after David. But God would deliver him time and time again. In 1 Samuel 27:1, it says, "And David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul.'" He's a tired, a discouraged heart. And then he says, "There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines." He's going to run to the enemy. There's nothing better than to go to the idol-worshipping Philistines. I'm going to go over there. "And Saul will despair of me to seek me anymore in any part of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand." Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful time of fellowship, for the worship that was already preparing our hearts, Lord. I ask you would just anoint your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Something happened to David. He became discouraged. Something happens to us, guys. That D word, discouragement, depression, despair. If we don't get a hold of it, it'll lead to your death and demise. As men, when we get discouraged, we sit in it. We like to wallow in it. Some of us are seeking attention to see, nobody cares for me. Does anyone see what I'm doing? That's what David's doing. Because he was delivered time and time again from Saul's hand. Victory after victory. And now he's discouraged. And as men, sometimes we go to the extreme. Dealing with that right now, so many, and it's such a blessing to see all these men here, because really in the church, the men are falling away. Falling. Extreme. Just going away. David said in his heart, what we say in our heart has tremendous power to shape our thinking, our actions, and even our destiny. The old saying is, just trust your heart. Wrong. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Discouragement leads to bad decisions that could implicate your destiny and your family's destiny. David the hero, David the captain, now he's David the traitor. And David does the unthinkable. He joins the Philistines. But in 1 Samuel 29, David leaves his family behind to fight with the Philistines. Can you imagine that? He's going to fight against his countrymen, against his people, to go against his own. But something happens. The sovereign God says they reject David. The king and the princes of the Philistines said, "No, we don't want David to come because he's going to turn on us in the middle of battle. We know what he can do." So he's rejected by his own people, by the enemy. But that was God's hand in it. I'm seeing now with everything that's going on, I would love to talk to Pastor Bill with everything that's going on in Israel, because he's walked there. He's hiked it, and he's been there 3 times in the last 4 months. Like, it's crazy. But to see what's happening and to see Christians posting stuff, free Palestine. What? Do you even know what you're right? Do you even know what the Word of God is saying? This is the time for men to rise up, to lead, to make a stand, as the scriptures right now are literally walking out of your Bible. They're coming to life. Everything's happening. You could go back and you're looking in Psalm or Zechariah or Daniel or Ezekiel or Revelation, and you're going, you're just seeing everything is just coming into place. But what's happening? There's a mass falling away of men, Christian men that have no backbone to stand for Christ. Man up. And that's where 1 Samuel, our text will start, 1 Samuel 30. Now it happened, verse 1, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and taken captive the Amalekites, the women, and those who were there, from small to great. The Amalekites did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men, verse 3, came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Can you imagine? They're coming back. You're not going to fight with the Philistines. We'll come back and see smoke. What's that? And they get there, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Something happens when you leave the fort. You leave the house of the Lord. You give the enemy an open door to take your children and take your wives and take them captive. Satan will never stop hunting after you and your family. He'll continue to chase after you. David's decision has implications that could lead to death of his wives and his family. And not only that, the 600 men that are with him and their families. Then the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. All is lost. Can you imagine coming home and your family's gone? But they were kidnapped. Think about what's happening with the hostages right now. I think America is so blinded. There's a do-do-do-do-do. We just keep going and do our schedule as usual, but we're not sitting there praying. What about the Americans that are there and hostages? Where's our government? What are they talking about? Let's just have a pause. Ceasefire. No. You will take back what the enemy took from you. We go get them. And David's two wives, and Hinnom, the Jerahmeelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. So he had two wives, and David's going to have more. That's another man's subject. We'll talk about, you know. Oh, David. You know, come on, man. We struggle with one wife. Now David, verse 6, was greatly distressed. Why is he distressed? Because you know what? It's my fault. Oh, we like to be called the captain, the leader. We like the praise and glory, but when it's your fault. Oh, it's your fault. For the people spoke of stoning him. Those 600 guys, the 400 turned to 600, now they're like, you know what? We're going to kill you. David has nothing. No family, no home. Even the Philistines don't want you. And now your own people, who thought so highly of you, they want to kill you. They spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters. Do we grieve after our children and our family? our kids are lost. They're getting indoctrinated in school. They're getting just hit with social media, all the filth that they're seeing. We need to fight for our kids. And when they're taken away, do we grieve for them? But here's the contrast. The end of verse 6. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This one pastor shared this story of these codfish. And they're shipping the codfish from the East Coast to the West Coast. And by the time they got to the West Coast, the fish is bad. Bad meat is horrible. So they said, we can't ship them dead. We got to ship the cod alive. So they started shipping the cod alive. And they got there, and it's bad. Bad. So they thought of thinking, you know what? Let's just put one catfish in there. And they sent the shipment from the East Coast to the West Coast, but they put one catfish in those aquariums. And the fish that came to the West Coast was the best fish they ever tasted. Strong. Good meat. Why? Because that catfish chased them all the way. One catfish was chasing. They were just moving in circle. Their muscle, their meat was good. Chasing them, chasing them. The enemy is chasing after you. Do we just be dead and you just give up and die? Well, you got to keep moving. You got to keep going forward. Be strengthened in the Lord. And that's what David did. He strengthened. Everyone is gone except God. You ever felt like that? The mercy and grace of God. David broken, weak, but now he's ready to be filled. Sometimes you have to hit the lowest point in your life to where even your friends say, you know what? I don't want you in my life. Let's just kill him. Many friends may have killed the relationship with you because you're toxic. Your decision-making is bad. And you see that in the churches, the decisions that they make and the watered-down gospel. The refuge will never stop teaching the word of God verse by verse. And neither will we. We will continue to go forward. But the decisions that are being made will hinder the flock. And you'll have dead sheep. David has to be humbled and realize, I can't do this. I need the strength of the Lord. I need your help to fight back this enemy. David was anointed. And he walked away from that anointing. God delivered him time and time again, but once again, God is faithful. Verse 7, then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. The ephod in Exodus 28, it's a special apron the priests would wear to cover their clothing. It has his breastplate and had a pouch with two stones. And the two stones had the Urim and Thummim, and it had the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Aaron would wear that in Exodus 28:29. So David inquired of the Lord. What's doing? He's praying. We're being strengthened today. Now we pray. We have the communication to talk to the Lord, to our God, to Jesus. But men are prideful. Men are so prideful. How many of you guys struggle with pride? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you exposed in front of your pastor. But some of you can't even take directions, right? You get lost. Now, I'm not really good with the phone and the GPS, all that stuff. And it's like, I feel like I could find any place in Orange County. I'll find it. My son's good with the phone. And he's like, Dad, why don't we just look it up? You have the address? I got the address, but I'll find it, man. Driving circles. He's like, Dad, come on. I was like, now with the gas prices, I say, hey, son, put in the address. Put in the address, son. And we go right there, right? But we're prideful, right? We're prideful when it comes to your health and the doctors. Some of y'all coughing, you got stuff going on, you need to go to the doctor, right? No, I'm just going to drink Sprite and just put vapor, the Vicks vapor on my thing. I'll be good. And it's like, no, you got to go to the doctor, man. But we're prideful. David inquired of the Lord. All that pride is down. And he asked the Lord for instruction. Shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? How many do you even ask the Lord anymore? We don't even pray. We're on social media asking your friends, your family. They don't know. Ask the Lord. In the season of searching for a church, what do we do, Lord? And I do feel the pressure. What do we, if we take this, are we biting off a bigger thing than we can chew? Can we afford it? Can we pay the rent? Everything you have to do, you have to make a decision. But God will make a way and will show you. I ask him, what do you want us to do, Lord? Here it is. You're going to go here. You're going to do this. I'm going to give you this. Everything is aligned up, but we have to ask the Lord. Pray. And David's asking him, shall I overtake him? And I love this. And he answered him. God answered, pursue, for you shall overtake them. And without fail, you're going to recover all. Man, that's all I need to hear. The Lord's saying, hey, man, go get them. You're going to take them. You're going to get it all back. So, yeah, that's all. Let's go. So David went, and the 600 men who were with him, I'm going. God's with me. And God's promise will not fail. Let's go. Let's go. And the 600 men were with him, and they came to the brook of Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. So David is back on track with the Lord. Now he has a purpose. Some of us, we need to gain our purpose back. What is the purpose? First of all, get right with the Lord. Strengthen yourself. Speak to him. And your purpose is to get your wife and your family. And then he'll give you another assignment and another one. So, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook of Besor. So I'm going to tell you something, guys. There's a lot of us here, but some of us are going to be weak. Some of us aren't ready for the journey or for the travel. And they're going to stay behind. We can't wait for everybody. We got to continue to go forward. But just because they're staying behind doesn't mean they can't pray. Now, I know there's a lot of old school gentlemen here. I hope you don't get offended when I say old school, because I'm almost old school too, you know? And I can't tell you how much the Lord needs you more than ever. We have a generation of men and fathers have just neglected their duty. We never retire when we serve the Lord. We need you to come back and pray and lift up these kids and be the papa and be the pillar and be a father figure, be a mentor. Do you know the kids that are here at the refuge? Hey, how you doing? You know, what's your name? What school you go to? Oh, man, I'm praying for you. Reach out to know who they are. I'll tell you, you may think they ignore you. First of all, there's something wrong with the social skills today. Kids, they're not taught to speak. They don't know how to greet. They don't know how to hold a conversation because they have this in their hand and this. You got to teach them. You got to reach them. Sad thing is, grown men don't know how to speak. They're just on their phone all the time. Don't worry about the 200 that are left behind. They sit and pray. We have youth events. Sometimes I just say, hey, guys, who can make it? Your security. I don't care if you just sit at the door. You just sit there. And they're going to know that they're safe. Know that someone's praying. We have to protect the house of the Lord, protect our families, protect our kids. Verse 11, then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a huge burrito and bigger than the Egyptian's arm, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, and he had eaten no bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. What is David exhibiting? Extreme kindness and care. His family is still gone. He hasn't recovered them yet. Still on the horses, they're chasing after this, and they find he could have just drove right on by and just, that's Egyptian guy, let him die. He stops for 3 days and three nights and feeds him. He's showing his confidence in the Lord. We got 3 days because the Lord said, we're going to take it all back. We got this. Verse 13, then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite. What you're thinking? I'll just take his head off right now. Servant of what? Oh, I'm a servant of Amalekite. Remember, we're in the Old Testament. And my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. Then he says, we made an invasion. He didn't say my master made an invasion. He said, we. That means he participated in it. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites and the territory which belongs to Judah and the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Okay, now get the sword. And David said to him, to the Egyptian, can you take me to this troop? What is he exhibiting? Not only kindness, but mercy and patience. So he said, the Egyptian said, swear to me by God, that is, make an oath that you will neither kill me nor deliver me. What are negotiations here? Into the hand of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. David's kindness leads to the blessing. See, as men, we're compulsive. Some of us struggle with our tongue. Yeah, you're saved, but man, if someone cuts you, say something, man, you flip it. Have you ever met guys, you're like walking on eggshells? It's like, they're going to flip. You say one wrong word and just mess up the whole fellowship. Got to work on that, our anger. Verse 16, when he brought him down, this unexpected guy that comes from the Lord, really. He brought him down, and there they were, spread out all over the land, eating, drinking, dancing, making TikTok videos. Because of all the great spoil they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Now it's time. It's time. And David attacked them from twilight until the evening. What? He waited. He's watching them dance low. Let them suck them up. Let them get their groove on. Okay, when they're drunk, we're going to attack them when they're all hungover. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening, from dawn to dusk of the next day. Not a man of them except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. Verse 18 and 19. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. All means, yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. First things first. Step one, seek God. Seek him out. Are you discouraged? You're in despair, depression? Are you desperate? You have to seek after the Lord. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. To inquire of the Lord, to pray, to ask. To have your personal prayer time with the Lord, to talk to him, to have that prayer time as a family, to have prayer time in your house of worship, whether it's Refuge or New Vision. Right now, our prayer meeting is meeting right now, and they are, I like to call them the Golden Eagles, the old school. A lot of them need walkers and canes and but they're faithful. They never miss prayer meeting. Never. And they're there praying for the house of the Lord. And I love it because my man JP's here. He's part of our prayer meeting. But what we do is we take all the lists, all the requests, and everyone prays and you do your thing, and we break off the groups. But at the end, JP will read everything. And it's like long. Every name is mentioned, is spoken to the Lord. And at the end, I'm filled with emotion because nothing gets left out. Praying to God, does it matter to you? People's requests. Praying, asking the Lord to revive you. Maybe you're on that verge of like, I'm calling it quits. No. James 5:16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, first you got to get it right with the Lord. Have a right standing with him. Are you in right standing with him? Now, for you to be here, that means either you're invited or you need to be refreshed. And I believe we need to be refreshed every day. You should be getting in your word. Now, when he says all these things, a lot of times we like to interpret it as like all these things, material. My marriage, my family, my car, my home, my boat. All these things, right? All these things. The thing that we don't really ask for that we should be number one, all these things. You know what the thing you need to ask for as men? Humility. Humble yourself. To humble yourself before. David had to humble himself. Everything is falling apart because of a bad decision. It didn't have to be that way. He didn't have to go through this valley, but he chose to do that. And his decision could have led to his stoning, to being dead. But God had his hand on him. Humble yourself before the Lord. Pray to your King. Allow Jesus to strengthen you. Today is the day of rescue. It's a day to recover and take back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. A lot of it is your self-worth. God died on the cross because you were worth it. That's the bottom line. You are worth his sacrifice. But we like to wallow in it. And I'm nothing. Oh, my family. Oh, like, get strengthened with the Lord. Get back to your first love. Serve him. Walk with him. Worship him. There's something that happens when you hear men worship. I don't know if you feel it. I got chills hearing, because I get to sit in the front. And I hear all you guys, if you sing alone, don't sound that good. But when we sing together, it's like angels. And with the power that's coming down the back of my neck, man, I was like, whoa, whoa, it was good. I don't know if y'all felt it, but I felt it. Because like it's hard to get guys to sing. You know, guys like to lip sync. You know, they worship, they're just like, no, sing. I mean, my voice is messed up. I can't sing that good. Not as good as the hound dog, you know. Like, but when we sing together, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Today, guys, it's time to man up. I'm going to say it like I would tell my sons. It's time to man up. You got to man up. And we got to man up to lead our families. We got to man up to be that husband that God's called you to be. Start being a father again. Let's fight for our children. Fight for their walk with the Lord. They have to own their own salvation. Just because they're in church, it doesn't even mean they're saved. You got to make sure, do they know? And do they know their purpose? Their purpose is not your purpose. Everyone's got a different calling. Today's the day, guys, to rise up and to take back what the enemy stole from you, your family, your wife, your prodigal children. But you know what else he steals? Your joy, your peace, your love. And I'll tell you right now, you guys have a wonderful fellowship. Because when I walked in here, I felt nothing but love. All over, just love, man, hugging, and just don't lose that. Don't let your hearts grow hard. Love on each other. And I'll tell you, God's going to just do amazing things. This is the time the church needs love. Your family needs love. This world needs love, and not that fake love. Love is love. And it's like, no, man. Love sacrifices life on the cross. Love was displayed on Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins.